The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellas. It's good. Amen. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, you'll find that Daniel finds himself at a time in his life where he is forced to make a decision. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, when the Bible says here that when Daniel knew the writing was signed, that he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled it. There upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. We understand that the decree, the law was passed that no one ought to do such, but yet Daniel chose to do that which he had already been doing, something that would honor his God, something that would help him to be able to walk with God, something that would help him to be able to put God first in his individual life. And so did he follow the same pattern. He did not change the pattern because a decree or because a law was passed. He followed the same pattern. You know, I believe that habits are extremely important. I believe that habits will make you. I believe habits will break you. I believe habits, if you will, can be those things that will deliver you during time of distress, time of despair, and despondency. I also believe that habits, if they're not the right habits, could cause you to go into times of depression, times of despondency, and times where you feel like that nobody really cares. And I believe that those habits could help you to be delivered into such despair. I believe that habits are roots, if you will, that placed in our lives can give us good character, or habits that's placed in our lives could give us bad character. I believe that we face how we're going to be, or we should, before we go through trials. I said that if you take an orange and you squeeze an orange, orange juice will come out. You put a Christian under pressure, how they respond during that time of pressure shows who they really are. Isn't it so true? Some people will, as they go through pressure, such as some people may be diagnosed, maybe with cancer or maybe with heart failure, and yet it doesn't change them. They're the same as they've always been, always rejoicing and always having a smile, because you see that they're going through does not change who they are. It's just a bump in the road that helps them to get further down the line. Isn't it true? So what is it that we ought to decide not to do tonight? Let me help you, if I may, tonight as a speaker. And don't change your good habits. Don't change your good habits. Some of you have very good habits that you've developed over the years. Some of you have learned the strength of forgiving people long before they ever offend you, and because of that, you never get offended. Some of you have learned to love people long before they ever give you back love. Therefore, you always feel loved. Some of you have been able, if you will, to master your tongue, whereby you don't become a backbiter. You don't become somebody that is a critic. You don't become somebody, if you will, that will step out and try to hurt another, because you've learned to master your tongue in areas only can that be done by the Holy Spirit. But you've yielded yourself to Him in such a way that He's helped you and you've allowed Him to help you to be able to go the right direction. I want to give you some things that I believe that are good habits that you ought not to change and why. Statement number one, don't change your good habits due to the customs of the population. Don't change your good habits due to the customs of the population. You see, can I tell you that smoking is wrong, right, whether you live in the United States of America or whether you live in Cambodia? Right. Can I tell you that taking drugs is wrong, right, whether you live in the deep, dark jungles of Thailand or Vietnam, or maybe you live in a palace someplace in England? Can I tell you that when God gives us principles, those principles not only ought to be looked at and greatly, if you would please, received, but also ought to be practiced. Somebody says, well, while in Rome, do as the Romans do. I would say, while in Rome, do as the Romans do if the Romans are practicing biblical principles. But if the Romans are not practicing biblical principles, you have no right to do what the Romans do. You see, we ought to govern our lives by biblical principles. We ought not to govern our lives by popularity. We ought not to go down to the store and because everybody's smoking, we decide to smoke. We ought not to go down to some place that sells liquor and because people are standing a mile and a half outside the liquor store, decide that we're going to buy liquor because everybody else is doing it. You know, most of the times, the things that are popular in the world are those things that are wrong, those things that are not decent, those things that are not right. You and I are called to be a peculiar people. We are called to be separated from the world and separated from sin unto God. And so we ought to stand that way. So don't be a person, if you will. Don't change your good habits due to the customs of the population. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed. Conformed is like you take a piece of clay, if you will, and you're conforming it. You're molding it, if you will. And God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when you fly on an airplane someplace, you ought to be different. You know, when you go out shopping, you ought to be different. You know, when you respond to people, when somebody irks you, maybe because they pulled in front of you in your lane, or maybe because they stole that parking spot from you that you so ought to have because you think you deserve it, or maybe because all of a sudden they said something bad or not nice about you on Facebook, or maybe because they text something nasty about you. All right, my Bible says, and so does yours, by the way, to turn the other cheek. Now, that's not talking about turning their cheek. That's talking about turning your cheek. All right, so don't change your good habits due to the customs of that which is the population. By the way, if we teach our girls to dress modest and teach our girls to dress decent in the house, then they'll dress decent everywhere they go. The problem is that moms and daddies have dropped the ball. And because you don't train them right in the house, they're not trained right outside of the house. See, the same thing is true with the music. The same thing is true with other standards of living that you and I ought to embrace and train our children to do. Can I tell you, the Bible does not change. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, you know, I dress a certain way in home and I dress another way outside of home. Well, can I tell you, I don't think God from heaven is looking down and saying, okay, there is 3.5 inches of obedience between that which is the outside and the inside. I think you ought to dress right all the time. I think you ought to listen to right music all the time. I think you ought to have a right attitude all the time. I don't think you ought to do it to please men. I think you ought to do it to please God. I think pleasing God ought to be your most important thing that you do. And because of that, I think that our standards ought not be double standards, but our standards ought to be right standards. I think that you ought to have the right type of standards in the home and out of the home and in the car and out of the car and in the public and out of the public. And I think that you ought not be ashamed that the way you live, that you have to apologize if somebody drops in on you in an untimely fashion. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you don't change your good habits due to the customs of that which is the common popularity. Discipline your children. Discipline them. We talked about that a couple Wednesday nights ago. Now, discipline them. You know, that child all of a sudden starts to act up like a Walmart brat, and they start jumping up and down and hollering and throwing a fit, saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. Get very close to them. Whisper inside their ear, you're going to get it when you get home, I promise you. Okay? But discipline. Discipline. Help your children to know what is right. Help your children to be able to go the right direction. I'm talking about in the dress and in the discipline. And by the way, listen to me. We have a thing going around today that if it just doesn't work out, if all of a sudden you and the husband, you and the wife do not get along, just go ahead and divorce. Well, my Bible says, till death do you part. And by the way, she's going to change. He's going to change. Come on. We've often said a man has trouble with furniture disease. His chest drops into his drawers. Can I tell you? Listen, people change. People change. Can I tell you? But you married them for all that they are. There might be more of them now, but you married them for all that they are. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, understand, don't change your good habits due to that which is the customs of the population or popularity. You decide that you're going to still keep good habits. You're still going to do that which is right. Good is still good. Bad is still bad. That which is bright is still bright, and dark is still dark. And so we ought to decide. And by the way, our young men ought to be able to set the pace on this for the little ones. For the little ones. I think sometimes we're raising, don't get mad at me because I'm not done yet, but I think sometimes we're raising a bunch of babies. Boy, I tell you what, I think sometimes in our Christian school, we've got babies. You get on to some kid, and boy, he'll go crying out, oh, you know, oh, the teacher, oh, why don't you just straighten up? Nobody have to get on to you, see? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that why is it that in our 11th and 12th grade, I'm talking about our academy, why is it that the 11th and 12th grade do not stand up and be men and be examples instead of the tomfoolery that goes on and the class clowns and stuff like that? Hey, why don't we decide that we're going to be right all the way through? Yeah. Hey, why don't you decide that you're going to rise up and call your mama blessed and rise up and call your daddy blessed? Why don't you decide that you're going to be an individual that mom and daddy don't have to cry themselves to sleep at night, but they're laying in bed just rejoicing over the fact that you're their son or you're their daughter, and they thank God for you simply because of the fact you are a soul winner. You do go faithful to church. You do live for God. You do step out and serve the Lord Jesus. Hey, why don't you make mom and daddy proud? Why don't you be the type of person that walks down the hallway and every deacon in this place says, hey, listen, my little kid, I want to be just like that. And they point to you. Hey, what would be bad about that? What would be bad? I said a moment ago, just playing with Brother Crutcher, and I appreciate him having such a good spirit. But watch this. I said, people that leave his office oftentimes leave crying. You know why I said that? Because I've had to leave his office crying myself. But he's a good man. Brother Crutcher's come to my office broken. And he said, I tell you what, I've got this young person, and I honestly, preacher, I just don't know what to do with them. I'm trying to help them, but it seems like they don't want my help. See, you got a staff that does care. And by the way, I'm not just talking about in the Christian school, and I'm not just talking about in the college that we have, and I'm not just talking about in those areas of education, but I'm talking about just in the church. I love to hear Brother Craig just walking down the hallway. I can always tell it's Brother Craig, especially when he laughs. Nobody has a laugh like Brother Craig. Nobody. He'll be walking down the hallway, and I hear him laugh, and I say, oh, that's Brother Craig. That's Brother Craig. You know, everybody has different personalities. Everybody does. I could point out the strengths of these men. I don't know of a youth pastor in America that loves teenagers like this young man. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that because he's my son. I'm just being candid with you. He's your youth pastor. Y'all thank God for him. Amen. I said, y'all thank God for him. Amen. You know, when I think of Brother Palmore probably is my right-hand man in so many areas that you could not shake a stick at. I mean, he organizes things for me. He's the guy behind the scenes. He makes me look good in public while he cleans up all my messes in private. He does. He really does. He helps me with the music program. He helps me with the finances. You know, our church would not be what it is today if Brother Casey Palmore would have decided that he would have left and went someplace else. Well, I thank God for him. I thank God for his family. Now, wait a minute. I don't know of a man, honestly, I'm just being very honest with you. I don't know of a man that has as much compassion towards students that's in our Bible college than that which is a Mark Butler. He's come to my office, and boy, he's saying, "Preacher, I want to help him. I want to help him." And he'll bleed all over my office. Some of the messiest stuff you ever see in your life. But he has such compassion for people. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, allow these fellows to have their personalities. Allow them to be who they ought to be for Jesus Christ. But I'm also saying tonight, you be who you're supposed to be for Jesus Christ also. You be the one that rises up. You say, "Oh, preacher, you just patted them on the back because they're sitting on the platform." By the way, can I tell you, they had to earn the right to sit on this platform. We don't give positions away. I'm not going to give a position to somebody that's going to try and cause trouble in the church. Our church is too good for that. I don't want to get somebody that's going to become disloyal and try and hurt the work of God here. I'm not going to have that. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, don't change your good habits, if you will, due to the customs of that which is the population. Look, you're not going to find me going out and getting drunk tonight. I do that on Monday nights. No, I'm kidding. But you're not going to find me going out and getting drunk tonight. I said I'm kidding. But you're not going to find me going out and pushing drugs in my veins. You're not going to do that. You're not going to find me losing my temper and shouting at somebody down the hallway and trying to throw a fit and cursing at them. You're not going to find that. Now, why? Because I decided a long time ago that I was going to put the right type of habits in my life, and it doesn't matter what type of pressure that I find myself under. I don't want to allow the customs of that which is the popularity or the population to change me. Statement number one. Statement number two. Don't change your good habits due to that which is the commands of politicians. Amen. Some of you are hearing. And I'm saying this right now. You're hearing politicians that use curse words. Right. Now, you don't have to pick up their cursing.
Right. Amen.
You're hearing about politicians that lie about this and lie about that. You don't have to pick that up.
Right.
You can still live for God. Oh, you say, "Preacher, you ought not to say that." Okay, let me repeat it. I said that you hear politicians that saying curse words, and you hear politicians that's lying and doing all sorts of stuff. Now, we've got to have a president, and you've got to vote, and if you don't, you're sorry. But I'm telling you this. Listen to me tonight. I'm saying that you take and you understand that you don't allow them to be able to influence you to the point and to the place that you check. Oh, you say, "I've got a star football player, and he's just something." Well, but if he's got bad habits, you don't have to copy those bad habits. You said, "But I'll tell you what, I see somebody, they're a Christian rock star, and I think I like their personality." First off, you ought not to like any Christian rock star. But secondly, I'm saying don't copy the habits of people that's going the wrong way. I'm saying, please understand me tonight, that when those that are running for office, I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're running for the office of being the dog catcher. I don't care who they are. Look, don't pick up the habits of people. Don't allow your testimony to be drug through the dirt. You decide. You'll stand up. You decide. You'll go forward. You decide. You'll live for God. You decide. You take a stand and do what you're supposed to do in the public arena. Here we see that Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 4, the Bible says, then it says, the herald cried aloud. And listen to it. It says, "To you it is commanded that," it says, "oh, people and nations and languages." And it talks about that at the sound of the harp and at the sound of the trumpets and at the sound of that which is the flute and at the sound of the dismal and after the sound of the music, that you're going to bow down to that which is the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And whosoever," it says, "falleth not down and worshipeth," the Bible says, "shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Now, wait a minute. Somewhere along the line, you have to decide as an individual that you're not going to obey the commands of those that are politicians that saying you need to bow down to everything they see bow down to. Hello? You have to decide you're still going to worship the Lord your God. You have to decide you're still going to witness for God. You have to decide you're still going to obey the Word of God. I'm saying don't change your good habits due to the customs of the population or because of popularity. I'm saying don't change your good habits due to the commandments of politicians. Statement number three, don't change your good habits due to the criticism of people. If you ever do anything for God, you're going to be criticized. You're going to bump somebody the wrong way one day, and they're going to come back with a handful of criticism. I tell you, it's going to happen. It's happened to me, and if it's happened to me, it will happen to you. And there will be good Christians out there that misunderstand you, and they take it upon themselves to become your judge. And they set themselves up as judge, God, and king, and they decide they'll pass judgment. Now, what do you do with something like that? Here's what you do. You do what old Nehemiah did. You stay on the wall. You keep working. To God be the glory. You go soul winning. You help people. You counsel people. You preach to people. You teach people. And you just keep going. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." The Bible says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. In verse 40, the Bible says, "And Martha was cumbered about with serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?' And here it says, 'Bid her, therefore,' she said, that she help me." You know, You know misery loves company. It really does. It really does. And did you know that sarcasm likes an audience? And criticism likes an audience. You know, everybody likes to get in. By the way, all vultures normally fly together. But everybody likes to pick on dead things. But can I tell you, if it's dead, it's not going to feel the picking. Oh, stand up. Okay. And here we go. And all of a sudden, he's walking along, minding his own business. And I don't like him. And I say, I need a gossiper with me. Come help me. And so here we are. We don't like him. And I say, "Did you hear about that Kevin Craig? It's a part of that ministry."
"No, tell me about it."
"Boy, I tell you what. I tell you, he just bothers the fire out of me. He, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't do anything right. Just doesn't do a thing right. Just bothers me. You know, I don't like the way he walks. You ever see the way he walks?"
"Crazy."
"Walks kind of crooked, if you ask me. A man that walks crooked is probably crooked. And I just don't trust him. You see, you ever see him walk and his shoulders are bent over? That means he's probably got a burden. You know what that means?
What?
That means he doesn't walk with God. Because if he walked with God, he wouldn't have such a burden. He'd be spiritual and he'd give it to God. And could you ever trust a bald-headed man? I mean, especially a young one. You know, there's a reason I hear that young men lose their hair. Would you like to hear my philosophy on that?"
"I'd love to." "Yes.
I can't share it. It's too deep." "Oh." But it bothers me. It sure does. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and not having to comb your hair, but you have to shine your head? Can you imagine? It's got to be. Now, by the way, if Brother Craig is right with God, he's just going to keep on walking.
Amen.
He's not going to come to me. He's not going to go to this brother and say, let me tell you, I heard you talking in the hallway just the other day, and it bothers me. Oh, he ought to be bigger than that.
Right.
He ought to have a deeper walk with God than that.
Amen.
What about great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them?
Amen.
What about that? I tell you, I think sometimes that some Christians, when you get offended, you ought to just grow up and get out of baby land. And just decide that you're going to serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, by the way, you're going to have people that's going to try to offend you. Well, don't take it like water off a duck's back. Well, you're awfully quiet. That means that probably 95% of you have probably been offended. I'm kidding. But now wait, watch this. Don't get upset about stuff so easy. Don't wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve.
Amen.
Don't weigh it down in your purse so next time you hit somebody, you whop them and they wind up in Alaska. I mean, don't take it so personal. I tell these fellas, I say, look, we work together. And I thank God that they're not this way. But I say, we work together. We work together. And I said, don't you dare take anything personal. I'm your boss. You're my employee. If I tell you to do something, it's not because there's something personal in your life. It's simply because a job needs to get done. And bottom line is, we're getting a job done. Now, we'll be friends and we'll cry together if you've got a burden. But we got to work. We have to keep it the way it should be. Now, I'm saying, thank you, be seated. And so here it is. All of a sudden now, you hear Martha, and Martha's saying, don't you understand, my sister, Mary, sitting over there, the nerve of her, and she's sitting over there, and all she is doing is tending to your feet. And over here, I'm all cumbered about, and I've got all this work. And by the way, listen to me. Don't be somebody that compares yourself among somebody else. Some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, Brother Crutcher gets up and sings. I can't sing. The cows will go home. But he'll get up and sing, do a good job. Brother Palmer will get up and sing. He'll do a good job. I've heard Brother Jonathan get up and sing, and he'll do a good job. I've heard Brother Craig get up and sing, and he'll do a good job. But me and this fellow right here, there's no way. I mean, there's just no way. We'll get up and sing one day, and you'll start getting a burden, and you'll start crying. Before you know it, everybody will hit the altar. You know why? Because there's not that within us. Now, I'm saying this. Don't change your good habits due to criticism of people. You know, people who do such are foolish. And most of the time, they're fruitless. And many times, they're far from God. And so don't allow criticism to hurt you. Don't do that. You just keep walking with God. Keep digging it deep. And by the way, this will help you inside of your house, too. All of a sudden, your wife gets critical. All of a sudden, your husband gets critical. You don't have to criticize them back. If they slap you, you don't have to slap them. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get to one of her ladies went to the ladies' conference, and she said, oh, I'm so thankful. That's what she said. She said, I'm so thankful I got a frying pan. She said, I promise you he'll obey now. And she was kidding, of course. She's probably talking about the dog outside. But don't change your good habits due to the criticism of people. Don't do that. Statement number last, and I'm done. Don't change. I'm saying statement number one. Don't change your good habits due to the customs of the population or popularity. Statement number two. Don't change your good habits due to the commands of politicians. Statement number three. Don't change your good habits due to the criticism of people. And lastly, may I say, don't change your good habits due to the changing of prosperity. The changing of prosperity. You know what I've learned, and you have too, if you've been around long enough. One day you'll have money, stay with me, and one day you won't.
Yeah.
Isn't it true? One day you'll say, oh, praise God, I've got so much money in the bank. Then all of a sudden an emergency comes, and there goes all your money out of the bank.
Yep.
Well, sure it does. One day you've got enough money to buy a car, the next day the car that you bought broke down. One day you save up money enough to go on a vacation, then all of a sudden something else pops up.
Right,
now I'm going to tell you about money. Money comes and money goes. And the best thing you could ever do with your money is to make sure you keep God first so that you build a security.
Amen.
So that God can help you with your personal finances because of your obedience.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, be the last verse I read. The Bible says, I know both how to be abased, listen to it, and how I know how to be abound. It says, everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You say, what is that? Well, that sounds to me like a balanced Christian.
Yes.
My Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The Bible says that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Boy, we have people, and I'm so glad we had such a wonderful big day, and we worked so hard, and that was just absolutely dynamite beyond compare. And you brought your friends, neighbors, and relatives, and strangers, and you brought them, and many people walked the aisle last Sunday and received Christ as Savior, and what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing that is, okay? But even through campaigns, we ought to be balanced. I mean, we ought to make sure that every day we read our Bibles. You ought to shout amen about that. We ought to make sure that every day we have a prayer life. Make sure that every day you mark it down to help somebody, love somebody, encourage somebody along life's way. Make sure. Make sure that every day you give your husband the rightful attention that you ought to. Yeah, your wife, the rightful attention that she ought to have. The children, the rightful attention that they ought to have. And the children ought to do the very same thing for their parents. Make sure, you know, you ought to spend your life helping each other, loving each other. You see your dad come walking in one day from work, and he's got the, and by the way, nobody can read a husband like a wife. Amen. Nobody can. Well, all of a sudden, when your countenance changed, she'll come to you and she'll say, oh, she might not call you honey or sugar dip, but she'll say, I realize something's wrong. Now, what is wrong there? Tell me what's wrong. They can read you. Nobody can read a wife like a husband. Nobody can. Nobody can. My dear wife, I saw her this morning, and she's sitting there in the pew, and I noticed it. And I asked her, I said, you okay? And so we're in the lobby. She said, oh, I'm just so tired. It's been a long week. I'm just so tired. I'm wore out. And I said, oh, my. Well, I understand that. And we need to work out something where we get something to eat and get some rest this afternoon. But to do something. And so I asked her tonight, how you feeling? And she said, I'm so tired. And that's why she's already fallen asleep 5 times while I'm preaching. But you know, even around me, when she has challenges, she keeps good attitude.
Amen.
Now, we're not perfect examples, I promise you, we're not. We're not. We're not. We take turns snoring at night. We do. We're not perfect. And, you know, and I'm just kidding. But now watch this. I'm saying that Kenny liked that. That's why I said it. All right. But notice this. Don't change your good habits due to the changing of prosperity. You say, well, I don't have like, stay with me. I don't have like. Like other people have. It'll come in time.
Yes.
Don't be in a rush.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't understand. I've been married 28 years and I still don't have anything. But can't you be satisfied with what you do have? By the way, isn't it amazing? Here in the United States of America, those that are poor compared to the rest of the world would be rich.
Yes.
Come with me on a mission field.
Amen.
You'll thank God that you have what you have. Well, you know, I don't have what the neighbor has. Well, he probably stole it. You know, thank God that you have what you have. Isn't it amazing, though? We always want more. We're never satisfied. Oh, folks, stay with me, please. I'm trying to help tonight. But if God gave you good health, if God gave you a mind that functionally works, if God gave you somebody in your life, whether it's a family member or a friend that loves you enough to sit beside you or to check on you from time to time or at least say howdy, can't you thank God for that?
Amen.
Can't you see how blessed you are?
Amen.
If all of a sudden you're preaching and you look over at your wife and she winks at you, or you're teaching a Sunday school and she gives you the thumbs up, or you're up here singing as a wife, and your husband looks up, and he smiles. I mean, can't you? I was watching Jared sing, and I looked out at Debbie, and Debbie's just. And I thought, hey, that's the way to do it right there. Look like you're on drugs. That's the way to do it right there. Now, I'm saying tonight, I'm saying don't change because of that which is prosperity.
Right,
All of a sudden, you're able to get some things. Hey, thank God for it. Thank God for it. Wonderful. Wonderful. You have a vehicle that runs. Thank God for it. You have a nice vehicle that runs. Thank God for that. You have a nice house. Thank God. You've got a room that you share, two brothers or two sisters together, or you have your own room, or maybe you live in a trailer, or you live in an apartment, or you live in a house, or you might rent a house. You might own a house. It doesn't matter. Thank God for what you've got. You know, if you'll spend time, I promise you before the Lord, if you'll spend time instead of bellyaching about all the things that's going wrong in your life, but become thankful for the things that's going right in your life, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your attitude. You know how many people would they give their right arm to be in a church like this. And yet we have the privilege to do it. You know how many people would give their right arm to work on a bus route, and yet you have the privilege to work on a bus route. Isn't that something? You know how many people would love to sing in a choir and be under a director like a brother Casey Palmore, and yet we've got him. You know how many people would love to go to a good, old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist college that teaches straight doctrine and lives it, not just teach it and practices it? Hey, you know how many young people around America would love to be able to go such a place? I'm saying you've got it right here. So because you've got it, take advantage of it. But I'm telling you, don't let that which is prosperity. You know, it costs to send a kid to a Christian school. It costs to send the kids to a Bible college or to help them to go. It costs. But I tell you, it's worth the cost. I'd rather have my kid in a school where the teacher gets up and names God in the right way than to name God in the wrong way. I'd rather put my kid in a Christian school where they've got good Christian examples than to put them in a public school that is downgrading God and forcing that which is Antichrist doctrine down their throat, or not even letting you name the name of God or even pray over their meals. I'm saying this. You ought to thank God for what you've got. Don't change your good habits due to the changing of your prosperity. Be a good steward. Be somebody that serves. Have a good spirit. The other day, one of my boys came to me and said, you know what today is on the calendar? And I think he said, according to Sesame Street. That's what I think he said, Sesame Street. I said, really, what is that? He said, it's National Grump Day. Grouch Day. Was Grouch Day? National Grouch Day. I said, wow, National Grouch Day. I think we ought to participate. Well, just for the fun, for a little bit. But I'm saying this. I'm saying you be the person that decides that you're not going to change your good things. You say, but preacher, I'm not all that spiritual. But you can decide not to change your good things. I tell you, well, you know, I don't lead somebody to Christ, and so therefore, I'm no good. Who told you that? Right. Who told you that? Right. Well, tell them to go look in the mirror. Amen. Who told you that? Well, you know, I can't be used of God because I only passed out 600 tracts during the campaign. 600 tracts? Well, that's amazing to me. Yes. By the way, you listen to me. I'm amazed if you pass out one. I thank God for every one track that goes out. Amen. Well, I'm not right with God because I can't stay out soul winning for 2 hours every week. Well, come out for an hour. Come out for a half hour. Come out for 15 minutes. Hello? See, what I'm saying is you can take and serve Jesus Christ if you want to. Now, I think you ought to be adding to your faith. The Bible teaches that. Amen. You ought to be adding to your faith. So coming out for a little while is a good start. Reading your Bible a little bit is a good start. Being faithful to one church service is a good start. But I think you ought to add to your faith and add more in. You know, the older I get, the more I want to do for Christ, not the less I want to do for Christ. Oh, I'm only 55, you know. I've got goals for the next 10, 15, 20 years. You say, you'll be an old man then. Well, yeah, but old men have goals. Sure they do. By the way, listen, what is your goals? What is your goals? I wonder if I had a microphone tonight, and I started right over here. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, and I want you to give me three spiritual goals that you have in your life right now. By the way, he ought to be a name just like that. Boom, boom, boom. I went to the next person. I said, what is three spiritual goals you have in your life? What is three? Three spiritual goals. Give them to me right now. You ought to be able to name them. Boom, boom, boom. Now, he's a visitor. But I go to him, Bible college student. And I come to Micah, and I say, what is three spiritual goals you've got in your life right now? Name them. He ought to be able to stand up and say, boom, boom. Just now, not say boom, boom, boom. But he ought to stand up and say, these are what they are. These are what they are. Okay? And I should be able to pass along these front row right along here and then go to the second row and to the third row. I mean, what's your goals? What's your goals? You know, you're not going to climb out of the rut if you don't have some goals. Now, we've got financial goals, and we've got all sorts of other goals, but don't you think we ought to have some goals for God?
Amen.
Come on. Don't you think you ought to put something down on the calendar and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This next year, this is how I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to go do this, and I am not going to give up until I learn how to do it and step out and accomplish what God would have me to do. Get some goals in your life. Get some goals in your life. Shared the gospel so many times so far this past year. Well, get some goals in your life to share a little bit more. Passed out some tracts. Get some goals in your life. Pass out some more. Read your Bible. One chapter so far this year. Get some goals in your life to read some more. Been faithful to church so far. Finish out the rest of the year. Get yourself some goals. You got parents that's discouraged you about coming to church, and you're coming all by yourself, and mama doesn't back you, and daddy doesn't back you. But why don't you say, by the good grace of God, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going and just keep going, and I'm going to set the example for mom and daddy so that mom and daddy can see what they're supposed to do and get yourself some spiritual goals. Put some goals in your life. My old daddy was laying on his deathbed. I thought he was dying one time we visit. And he put on a shaky piece of paper, Brother Crutcher, shaky piece of paper. Well, the paper wasn't shaking. Hand shaking. And a piece of paper. And he said, and he scribbled it. He said, thank you for not giving up on me. Well, you know, there's other daddies out there. And they're watching you. Every time you come to church, they're watching you. Every time you come to church, they're watching you. They're watching you. You say, well, they're not saved, but they're watching you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But preacher, they don't listen, but they're watching you.
Yeah.
I said in my Sunday school class, I was talking to a gentleman last week, and he said, I don't understand. How come this parent, this was daddy he was talking about, he said, I don't understand. How come this parent, a daddy he was talking about, behaves this way? So I can tell you exactly the way he behaves, and I can tell you almost why, and I'm pretty close to it if I'm not right on it. Because I came up in a lost daddy's home.
Yeah.
I came up in an unsaved daddy's home. I know how unsaved daddies think.
Yeah.
So let me tell you how to work with him so you can bring him closer to the truth, because I know exactly what my daddy would have thought in such a situation. He went over and he dealt with the gentleman and he came back. He said, you know what, preacher? It worked. But I grew up in an unsaved, among unsaved parents for 18 years. I watched them make decisions as unsaved parents for 18 years. I watched them. So I've got the advantage of knowing about how some unsaved parents might handle certain things. And then I've got the greater advantage of knowing what the Bible says about it. And so I can take them where they are and bring them closer to where they should be to one day maybe they'll receive Christ as Savior. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, understand this. Understand. Don't trade in your good things. Well, somebody was mean to me. I just feel, stay with me. Somebody was mean to me. I just feel like giving up. Don't give up.
Amen.
That's exactly what the devil wants.
Yes.
I've said this before. The devil is after your home. If he can't get the daddy, he'll try and get the mama. If he can't get the mama, he'll go after the oldest sibling and work it all the way down the line. He is out to get you. Now you decide, by the good grace of God, that's not going to happen. You decide that. You decide by the good grace of God, you're going to get some goals in your life, and you're going to shoot for those goals. Shoot for those goals. And you try and hit those goals in your life so that you can finish the way you ought to finish. Now, Father, thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.